If we put our hands on our hearts, thank you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation being poured out over us tonight, over our hearts, that you'd open the eyes of our hearts, that we would see the hope of the gospel tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. That's going to go perfectly with what we talked about today. So I'm going to give some context as to who we are, where we've come from, and where we're going. We exist to minister to the Lord and live out the gospel every day. To minister to the Lord means to tend to God's desires. And his desire is you and me, and to have a resting place, to tabernacle with his people. That's God's desire. And that's why he gave his one and only son, who became unrecognizable. His flesh was torn off his body. He spilt his blood. He was nailed to a tree. He became the curse that we're cursed with and nailed it to a tree and became the entryway for us to have relationship with the Lord and for us to host the Lord. We've become the New Testament tabernacle, and the Lord desires to tabernacle, to dwell with his people. A friend of mine and I started this ministry, I don't know how long ago, 10, 8, 9 years ago. And the Lord had opened up just doors to the nations for us. And we would go and just teach and preach the gospel and identity in Christ. And we saw crazy miracles, incredible breakthrough. And we got to travel the world and go to the Middle East and Africa and Ireland and all these places and share the gospel and share the Lord with people. Thousands saved, and that we did that for a number of years until the Lord brought Clay on board with us, and we started praying more for our city. Lord, what would you have us do? And we started to just have outreaches in our city. We had no real direction really from the Lord as like what are we called to do in our city. We know we're called to the nations, but what are we called to do here? And then 2019, we took a trip to Upper Room, and we walked into the church, and we had never experienced a community with an anointing like that. You know, I've experienced anointed teachers and preachers and people who hear the Lord clearly and the Lord moves through them powerfully. But I've never experienced a corporate anointing like that, where the entire community, it seemed that the Lord had literally rested on. Like it was a tangible presence of God that we walked into. And I remember that service we went to, it was like 30 minutes into worship, they stopped playing, and it's like the Lord just sat down in the room, and like his presence was just like I didn't want to move. And everyone ended up on the floor just weeping for like 45 minutes. People were screaming. Just it was like the conviction and the fear of God fell in the room that like this is why we exist. We exist for him. We exist unto him. And all of our gatherings, all of our services are unto the Lord. And if they're for anything else, it's a way that seems right to a man, and it's not the kingdom of God. If it's anything else, it's because it may be a good idea, but man is building it and the Lord is not building it. And so we took that trip, and one of the pastors there, we were having lunch with him, and he looked at us, and he said something that really impacted us. And there are a few times in your journey where the Lord marks you and he says something to you that changes the trajectory of your life. And he looks at us and he said, the Lord is going to halt, to stop all of your travel in 2020. And we were going on like, I don't know, 7 trips a year at that point. And we were like, nope, that can't be the Lord. And then COVID happened and we didn't go anywhere in 2020. And the second part of that word was, the Lord's going to stop all of your travel and you are to build a community around the presence of God. And so once we found out that our travel had stopped, I think we started taking that word a little more seriously. And we started all throughout COVID. We met in our house, and we had prayer gatherings every Wednesday. We stayed faithful just to gather. It was like sometimes it was just me and Clay. Sometimes it was 3 people. But we stayed faithful to the Lord, and we wanted to minister to the Lord. every week, we wanted to dedicate, specifically dedicate a time where we intentionally focused on the Lord and ministering to his heart. Because, and I'll get to this in a minute, but we are a royal priesthood now. And the role of the priest was to minister to the Lord in the Holy of Holies, to offer up sacrifices. New Testament, what's that mean? That means to give your life as a sacrifice to the Lord, to lay it on the altar, to minister to him by giving yourself fully to him. And so that word changed the trajectory of where we were going. And it gave us a clarity and a vision of something to go towards, of like, this is what the Lord has for you in your city, to build a community around the presence of God. And then I think it was a couple of years later, we were having breakfast with a guy named Solomon Grimes. And we call him Saul. He's from Fort Wayne, and he was visiting us. And after the pancake house, we were walking where the Lord is. We were walking out in the parking lot, and Saul just comes up to me, and he's like, dude, I got to pull you aside. He's like, I had a vision of you guys. And he started to pray this over me, that he said, I see your community raising the banner of first love in your region. And that was our heart. And it was a word of confirmation that we are going in the right direction, that the Lord is speaking and the Lord is leading, because the Lord has commissioned us as this house that you're in tonight, as chaotic as it is. Our commission from the Lord is to minister to him, and by doing so, we raise a banner of first love. That anyone who walks in here, we've heard it countless times, like, I felt the Lord so deeply tonight. And they always ask what we're doing differently, and I have no clue. We're exalting the Lord in his proper place, which he is the head of the church, his body. He is the head of his body, the church. And Jesus should take the seat of authority in every single thing the church does. Every single thing the church does. There should not be a luncheon or a brunch or a dinner or a prayer meeting where the Lord is not the center of attention. And he is the one calling the shots. And he is the one saying, do this, do that, go this direction. Because we've come to find out that if we are connected to the source, Jesus as the source, then the fruit grows because we're connected to the source of the fruit. And so I wanted to share those two directional words with you guys. Like, what you're stepping into tonight is the fruit of the Lord speaking to us in that way. Does that make sense? And so we've switched up everything. From, if you look at us from 7 years ago, we are completely different, because the Lord said, I want to be the leader. And it's really as simple as that. And so where we're going as a house is that direction. And we talked about Liz. This is my wife, Liz, my beautiful wife, Liz, by the way. Sorry, I didn't introduce you. She's my better half. And she sounds like the Holy Spirit a lot. We talked about this today, but like, many desire a visitation from the Lord. But there's a criteria. Hey, Raymond, hold on. Go in that room. Many desire a visitation of God, and it's great. The encounter, like you get healed or you get set free of something. That's an encounter with the Lord. That's where the Lord visits you tangibly. Many desire a visitation, and we're all pressing in for a visitation of the Lord, right? But what we're really after is the habitation of the Lord. It's to become a dwelling place and a resting place where the Lord can tabernacle with his people. Day and night, 24/7, where he doesn't leave. And for him to find something like that, he has to do all of the construction. He has to do all of the leading. He has to do all of the refining in us for us to be able to host the presence of the Lord, and for it to be a habitation for him that he delights in. And I'm gonna in a minute here, Liz is gonna talk all about that. But I wanted to read a couple of verses beforehand that talk about this. 2 Peter, I'm just going to read it to you guys. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Listen, this is life after salvation. Like, you don't hear this very often. I didn't hear this very often growing up in church. I thought the whole goal of life was salvation. I thought my Christian existence was just to get to salvation. But there's a whole eternity after salvation, and it rests in being a habitat for the Lord to rest on, to tabernacle with, to dwell with. The Lord wants to do every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every year with you in your work, in your jobs, in your families, in your communities. The Christian life after salvation is hosting the Lord day and night. As you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You want to know God's will for your life, it's to be a house for Him. And the Lord says in Scripture, my house will be a house of prayer. And there are so many people laboring in vain to build the Lord something He approves of, when the Christian life looks like just laying yourself down on the altar of the Lord and letting Him scoop you up and being born again and putting you as a living stone in the construction process of what He wants His house to be, which is a house of prayer, a house of prayer that's dedicated to hosting the Lord, to hosting His very presence. Jesus is way better at evangelism than I am. Jesus is way better at teaching than I am. Jesus is way better at giving prophetic words than I am. And it says in Scripture, if you lift Jesus up, if you exalt Jesus, He will draw all men unto Himself. And He is the great shepherd. So why do we think that we can do it better than Him? And the entire reason that we gather is for that purpose, to lift the Lord up into His rightful place, exalt Him in our minds, exalt Him in our hearts, exalt Him in our spirits. And when we tuck up underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ, He does the pruning, He does the teaching, He leads you. He leads you if you submit to Him, I promise. Ephesians 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. What does this mean? This means if you are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you are under the lordship of the devil, and you will go to hell for eternity. There's no sitting on the fence in that matter. You're either under the lordship of Christ or you're not. And if you're not under the lordship of Christ, you're wasting your life. And it will be a waste for all of eternity, because the Lord paid everything to get you back. The Lord paid everything so that you could step into relationship with Him and that He could clean your house and live in it. It says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. This is all of us, BC, before Christ, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is what it looks like to be born again. You're raised up with Christ, seated with Him, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Remember, Jesus absorbed everything wrong with you in his flesh when he died on the cross. He absorbed everything that's wrong with you into his flesh. And he abolished the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us, restore us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. This is the gospel. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. If you want to know where we're going as a house, that's where we're going. This is what the Lord did. This is where he's taking us. He's building a dwelling place for himself in our city. And our city so desperately needs the habitation of the Lord. Our city doesn't need the visitation of God. It's amazing. Don't get me wrong, it's amazing. But our city needs the habitation of the Lord, where he dwells and where he finds a place full of his sons and daughters that please him.
Yeah. So let's talk practicals. I'll be really quick. I know it's almost 9. You're not a prisoner. If you need to leave, you can leave. But I want to get into, can we have Holy Challenge tonight? Awesome. That's what we're going to go to. Because what the Lord is doing in this hour for his church, not just this church, he always has and always will be calling us into being a dwelling place for him. And even this weekend, a lot of us ladies went to a conference, and you know what they talked about? They talked about ministry to the Lord. They talked about being a habitation for the Lord in Georgia. We're talking about it in Indy. They're talking about it in Dallas. It always has been his plan. It always will be. But right now, he is wooing his bride back to first love, because in Western culture, we have gone so the other way, and we've lost it. And he's wooing us back. Hey, 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 come over here. It's about ministry to the Lord. Hey, 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 it's about being a dwelling place. And so you got to know this is what he's doing. And what did Jesus do? He only did what he saw the Father doing. He did nothing else. So what is the Father doing right now? He is making and wooing his bride back into the dwelling place he always hoped she would be. So let's talk practicals really quick. I'm going to go fast. It's so funny that we got on the door tonight, because that's like all that I'm talking about, which is so fun. And so when we're talking about being a dwelling place for the Lord, there's a very big difference between visitation, where you just come and you go, and habitation, where you never leave. And if you think of a house, and if you think of having a guest, there's a really big difference between hosting somebody for a weekend and having somebody live with you. You make really different preparations when somebody's just coming to visit for a weekend and somebody comes to live with you. I love it because Clay and Bailey have somebody living with them right now, and I think it's so prophetic of our minute. Like, you guys in the natural are hosting someone. You have opened your house for someone to live, and all as I'm thinking about it all week, I'm like, this is what Clay and Bailey are doing in the natural. It's so prophetic, and it's so beautiful. But when you have someone come over just for a weekend, you close a lot of doors. You shove a lot of your clutter, you shove a lot of your mess into that room that they're not going to go in, and then you clean, clean, clean all the other places, and you make it look really great, and your goal is for them to come in and see this perfected thing and give them, like, do everything for them, and then they leave. When you have somebody come and stay, you got to prep. And you know what you also have to do? You have to be attentive to their schedule. Make sure that what they need, you have, that you have a meal available, that you're moving around your schedule to match with theirs, that they have access to every room in the house that they may need. You have to go through and you have to get rid of that clutter. You got to get rid of that mess, because guess what? They're going to come and live. They're going to need every room of this house. It's very, very different. And so when we look at, if you guys open your Bible, Revelation 3:20, we had it on the screen, which is so, again, the Lord, he's such a good leader. He's such a good leader. Also, fun fact, if you don't have a Bible, I learned this week, Erica told us, Goodwill, Bibles are free. $0 at Goodwill. So if you need a Bible, go to Goodwill. So Revelation 3:20, again, we had it on the screen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him. Jesus is all about dining with us. He's all about eating with us. He will come and eat with him, and he with me. You know what's really amazing about this scripture is that very often we apply it with our own salvation. But in the context of this scripture, he is talking about the church. This is a corporate word. It's a corporate word to say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking to the church in Laodicea. I had to Google how to say that. He's talking to a church. He's talking to, it's a corporate word that he's saying. He's talking to his bride. He's addressing a self-satisfied congregation. And how does the church get to a point where the Lord is actually standing on the outside of the door knocking to come in? Yes, it's our own hearts, but that is the bride as well. It is a corporate word that he stands on the outside of the church and knocks. Hey, can I come in? And so we're going to kind of, this is a journey, stick with me. Song of Solomon. We're going to look at where this actually plays out, what we're talking about. I believe it's, oh man, I only wrote down the verses. Hang on. Okay. Let's see here. Sorry, I got to find it now. Didn't write it down. I believe it's 2. Yeah, it's 2. Okay. We're going to start in 10. So in 10 it says, the one I love calls to me, arise, my dearest, hurry, my darling, come away with me. I've come as you have asked to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. This season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whispers there is change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place, for now is the time to arise and come away with me. For you are my dove, hidden in the split-open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. How beautiful your eyes of worship and lovely your voice in prayer. You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship, for they raid out our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them from me? We will do it together. And this is what the bride says. I know my lover is mine, and I have everything in you, for we delight ourselves in each other. But until the day springs to life and the shifting shadows of fear disappear, turn around, my lover, and ascend to the holy mountain of separation without me. Until the new day fully dawns, run on ahead like the graceful gazelle and skip like the young stag over the mountains of separation. Go on ahead to the mountain of spices. I'll come away another time. So the bridegroom is outside He's outside the house. He's saying, "Beloved, it's a beautiful day. Let me take you to the high places." And the bride responds and she says, "Oh, go ahead. I'll come another time." This is how we end up as a church with a closed door to Jesus. Lord, I know you're calling me to come away with you, but I am yours and you are mine. I'm robed in your righteousness and my name is written in your book, so I'll just meet with you later. But I'm saved. Yeah, you are. The Lord is mine and I am his. That is so true. I can just be at peace and rest in the finished work on the cross. Absolutely, you can. But we have to watch out for the dangerous spiritual and scriptural drowsiness that keeps us from responding when the Lord pulls on the strings of our heart saying, "Come away, my beloved. There are some mountains I want to show you, some songs I want to share with you." And if we, corporately, are to become a dwelling place for the Lord, we must be willing to open the door that Jesus stands and knocks at. We have to be willing to drop everything in a gathering simply because he is moving. It's so uncomfy. But man, if you're in the middle of your own plans, and then here he comes and he knocks on the door, will you open that door to him? That's what it means to be a dwelling place for the Lord. He's asking his bride. He's saying, "I'm on the outside of the door, and guess what? The door handle's on the inside. Will you let me in? Will you let me into all the whole kit and caboodle?" John 3:8 says, "The Spirit wind blows as it chooses." Hallelujah, honestly. That's awesome. But what happens when we're right in the middle of the song and he starts to knock? He's standing at the door of his bride and he's knocking. He wants to feast at his table with us. He longs for the dwelling place. He delights in the habitation, not the Sunday visitation. He wants to be the dwelling place. And I really, my heart burns. My heart burns that the glory would never leave. That this place would just be, that there would be glory that falls. Oh, you have the presence in you. Like, you can carry him with you. Hallelujah. What an amazing truth. But there is something different when you walk into a dwelling place where glory has fallen. Oh, it's so incredible. And that is what we are so convicted that there should be in the city of Indianapolis and the state of Indiana, there needs to be a dwelling place for the Lord. And we want to invite him in corporately. This is the challenge. Open the door. Open the door in your life. Open your door because it's not just a personal thing. It is a corporate thing. When you are opening that door, and then you come in here, and we've all have open doors to the Lord. Oh, that's incredible. And that's what he wants. That's what he's asking of his bride in this hour. So I guess that's the invitation tonight. This is our first time teaching together. But that's the invitation, is to open the door. He is standing and he is knocking. And whether it is a salvation, I've never opened any door to him before, or whether it's maybe you've known him for a really long time and you're just too settled in the fact of like, "Oh, I'm his, he's mine, I'll see him tomorrow." It's an invitation for all of us. Sometimes we get a little too comfy. And we aren't responding when he's knocking. So each one of us has an invitation tonight, but we're going to have prayer team, our leadership team will be up here in the front. If you need specific prayer, if you're like, "Yeah, I this is the first door I've ever opened to the Lord," we want to pray with you. But for all of us, when we walk out of these doors, press in with the Lord. Press in and see what he has to say. So, Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for leading us so well, God. You just weave a sweet little ribbon through the whole night. We love to be in your presence, God. Our hearts burn to be a dwelling place for you. For you to come and have habitation, Lord, not just a weekly visitation. Lord, would you come? Would you drop glory in this room, Lord? We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. The Psalm 46, that there's a constant flowing river of joy and delight, and it flows straight into your dwelling place. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Would you do heart surgery on each one of us as we get up and we leave this room, Lord? Would you knock and knock and knock and not leave us alone, Lord, until the whole thing is yours? And then as each of us, those living stones, Lord, would you just build us into a dwelling place for you, God? We love you, we love you, we love you. We want to spend our days ministering straight to your heart, God. Let us burn with first love. Burning with that first commandment actually being the first commandment, to love you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We love you. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Can we close by, I want to say a real quick prayer together. Thomas, will you put up, there's a prayer that you can put up. I want to invite you guys to join us in praying this specifically for our community. And then we'll open it up to ministry time. Leadership team will be up here. So just repeat after me. Lord, bring us musicians and Davids. Marriages and families, come on. Fathers and mothers, aka old people. Young people on fire. Lord, make us a house of prayer. A dwelling place for your glory. A resting place for your manifest presence. A beacon of light for our city. And a banner of first love for our region. Amen.